Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I really can't speak too much on it because I'm not in that position, but it's tough, you know, just not being in the building for anyone. They handle it the best way that they can. You know, certain protocols that you have to follow in the league, which I'm sure they're following and whatever. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, man. And I guess the only thing you could do is just follow what the PA, follow what the league says and go from there. No matter if it's right or wrong, I mean, it's just, like I said, coronavirus just created, you know, a lot of things that we have to deal with this year. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Is this whole situation frustrating? Yeah, because we want to play normal football. But at the same time, it is what we're in. It's the life that we're in right now. And so controlling what we can control, it's cliche, but that's just exactly what it is. You know, we can't worry about the times we're working out outside the field. If they were doing this, that, the other. We got our guys here, our core group of guys here, our team here, and we can control all the right precautions to take and control one day at a time, getting ready to play the game on Sunday.
They say it's safe to play. You know, I'm going to be out there. That's my mindset. Pretty sure they won't try to put us in harm's way. You know, so we just got to see how it plays out.
You're going to have to give me the names on all those again. I know it was Devin Singletary last, was Stephon Diggs before that?
It was Edmonds, then Poyer, then Singletary.
Edmonds, sorry. Why did I think it was Stephon Diggs? Sounded like...
Diggs did talk.
He did.
Speak
okay.
as well.
Oh, okay.
So well, you're not too far off.
All right, there you go. All right, thanks. That's Jonathan Simon. You here with me, Sal Capaccio, on the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. I will get to my Sal's 517th awards, but I know a couple of you have been waiting on holds. We'll do that real quick first, and then we'll get to those awards. Tony in Niagara Falls. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR. What's up?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I really like the idea that Buffalo got Hall. I think it's a good, real good fit with Eichel. I think they're going to do really well, these new picks. I'd like to see him get Marc-Andre Fleury as a second goalie because I think Allmark and him would make a good pair, you know, rotation.
Yeah, I think they I don't know if they're done yet here with goalies or anything else for that matter. I mean, it seems like as of right now, they're just going to kind of go ahead with what they have, but who knows? I mean... The Taylor Hall thing came down. That came by surprise. So we'll see where they go. I can't imagine they're done overall, but you know, I'm not really sure. I think they like the goalies they have, but you know, who knows if they feel like they can still upgrade in some capacity. Let's go out to Chet in Buffalo. Hi, Chet. You're on WGR.
Yeah. Hi, Sal. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you for that.
Two things I really like about listening to you. You treat all of us who call with respect. And you're totally honest about your opinions, what you know and what you don't know. I have two quick questions. Why do you think the run blocking is so much worse than the pass blocking? I find that unusual, that they should be good at one part, not the other.
Let me ask you, though, do you think that's true, or is it just the numbers say that they're a better passing team right now?
I think it's true.
Okay. I don't know. I think that they are built to be an athletic run blocking team. An athletic offensive line, that they can do, you know, a lot of different things. I think that they have trouble, you know, being a power run team, and maybe that's why sometimes, because they don't really have that type of offense right now. That's kind of not the way they're built, right? So to me, that would be the answer I would go to right away. I'm not telling you they can't run block, but I do think, Chet, though, is they're not kind of built to be a power run team. They're better when they have more space and they can be more athletic and take advantage of teams that way.
Well, then, is it the play calling then? Because they...
Their identity is to spread the field and throw, right? I mean, we know that. So it's definitely play calling, but I don't want to go that play calling. I like what they're doing with the play calling.
Okay. The second is a really crazy, harebrained idea, but I wanted your thoughts on it. And I think Ed Oliver would make a better defensive end, a defensive tackle. I think his strength is his speed, and he's a little bit undersized.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting two people blocking him all the time, if he went one-on-one, I think he'd be in the backfield all the time.
Chet, you're not the first person to ever suggest it. I don't think it's a great idea, but I understand why people do. And let me tell you why I don't think so. It's because if you went to a 3-4, that would be different for me. If this team played a 3-4, I think you could make the argument that you could put Ed Oliver as a defensive end in a 3-4. But as a 4-3, he's got to be able to come off the edge. He's got to be able to bend. He's got to be a little bit longer to go against those tackles. And he just doesn't have that. He is shorter. He is a little bit undersized. I think that he'd probably be okay at setting the edge in that regard. I don't think as a 4-3 defensive end, you need some traits that he just doesn't have. And I think that he fits as a defensive tackle as a penetrator. I think one of the things with that, Oliver, is you have to remember, you know, he wasn't drafted to be a Star Lotulelei, obviously, I'm sure you know. He was more of a drafted to be a penetrator from the defensive tackle spot. But if you want to move him, I think you'd have to change your defense, and then you could make an argument for it. But as it stands right now, you got to have a little more length. I mean, you got to remember, these offensive tackles would swallow him up as a 4-3 defensive end.
Oh, okay. You know, that makes sense. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. I appreciate that. That would be my answer to why you wouldn't want to do that. Kevin in Buffalo. Hi, Kevin. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Sabres, the Hall signing. What really struck me yesterday, I was thinking about, you know, great center left wing pairings in Sabres history. Obviously, the first one is Martin and Gilbert Perreault. The second one was McGillney and LaFontaine. And this obviously is an obvious third one that could really develop into something special. So I just thought that was something I hadn't heard people make that comparison before, but that's kind of what struck me.
How about this? I'll give you a trivia question since you're on and you talk about that, Kev. See, you seem like a bit of a Sabres historian, right? All right. How about this? Somebody on Twitter asked, you know, when was the last time the Sabres had a couple of number one picks playing together? Now, obviously, we know that Jack Eichel was not a number one pick, but it did get me down the rabbit hole a little bit because Taylor Hall is a number one pick. And you go back to Gilbert Perreault was the number one pick in 1970. We know that. And then do you know who else the Sabres had throughout their history? I was looking at all the number one picks. Dale McCourt. Remember, he came from a trade with Detroit?
Yeah.
1977 was the number one overall pick. We know then 10 years later, they had the number one overall pick in Pierre Turgeon. And then not long after that, they traded for Dale Hawerchuk, who was a number one overall pick. So they've had some guys in the organization who were that top pick overall, whether by signing now with Taylor Hall or trade with Dale Hawerchuk or Dale McCourt or drafted by, you know, Pierre or Gilbert Perreault.
The thing about Eichel and Taylor Hall is that these guys are both basically, Eichel's entering his prime, Hall is arguably, should be in his prime in the
right.
late 20s.
Yep.
So this is going to, and they both bring... they both have incredible speed, incredible strength, and incredible shots. And, you know, arguably this might be – I mean, McGillney and LaFontaine were off the charts. They had a chemistry that was just mind-bogglingly brilliant and gave probably the best couple of years of offensive hockey the Sabres have ever had. This is going to definitely, you know, push it in that territory, I think.
Yeah, and I agree with you as far as, like, the explosive nature of it. And I love what it can do for that top – six, I guess. I think I'm still questioning the bottom six at this point, you know, where they are. And they're certainly, to me, not as good as a lot of the Eastern Conference bottom six, but they're much better now. And you can start moving pieces down and they can start dropping down, you know, the depth chart. Dylan Cousins might be the key to this whole thing. He might be. Dylan Cousins. I mean, I guess we could say Cousins, Mittelstadt, and Reinhart, really. But really, to me, Dylan Cousins, the unknown of Dylan Cousins. Because right now, we're kind of like, okay, well, you can't really count on Mittelstadt from what we've seen. But Dylan Cousins, I don't know. Can we? Can we not? It's such an intriguing option with Dylan Cousins and where he can play, who he can play with, how he impacts the lineup. I think he could be the key. By the way, I just went over those number one picks. That trade when the Sabres got Dale McCourt in 1981, that killed me as a kid. I was 7, 8 years old because they traded Danny Gare and Jim Schoenfeld on the same day. But then it turned out good because even though you get Dale McCourt, he wasn't kind of the guy. Even though he was the number one pick, they got Foligno and Brent Peterson. And Brent Peterson was like this amazing faceoff guy. And we know Mike Foligno turned out to be a really, really terrific Saber throughout his time for the next, 10 years, I guess, a little bit less than that. But that trade that I just mentioned, the Sabres got Dale McCourt, a former number one pick in 1981. That killed me as a kid because Danny Gare got traded and Jim Schoenfeld got traded. I think I cried. That was another. There was another one with Detroit. Rick Seeling got traded too. And Rick Seeling actually cried, if I remember that, when he got interviewed about it. But I remember that. All right, let's get back to football real quick because I do have 15 minutes left before I get to Craig Revay, and I want to get to my Sal's 517th awards. What are the Sal's 517th awards? Well, it's just something I made up today because I never did a first quarter awards from the NFL season, and even though the Bills have actually played four games, it's week five. It's after week five, and the NFL has 17 weeks. So these are Sal's 517th awards, not only for the entire NFL, but for the Buffalo Bills. Jonathan Simon is playing the music. Jonathan, you tell me if you agree with my awards, or on a rating scale of, that's the winner, or do you say, nah, he doesn't deserve it. Ready?
Ooh,
we go. Here we
this
go.
Is fun. You're giving me a lot of responsibility
I am. You gotta grade my grades. Grade my awards. All right. Offensive Rookie of the Year. For the NFL, in Sal's 517th awards, I'm going with Joe Burrow. The guy threw for 300 yards in his first 3 weeks, although there are plenty of options. Justin Jefferson's having an amazing year.
Yeah.
Right? In Minnesota.
Making that digs of
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Absolutely.
What he's doing. I go with Burrow, though, the quarterback who's playing well, although he did not play that well yesterday.
Yeah, it's tough to say, but I mean, with the pressure of being a number one pick and playing in Cincinnati, too, and he's played some good teams so far.
That was
a
tough one for
pick.
Me. That was a tough one for me. All right, for the Bills, I think this is an easy one. Offensive Rookie of the Year has got to be Gabriel Davis. There's no other guy you could even put on that list. The guy is trending to be a really good NFL receiver. We know Gabriel Davis has been the best offensive player as a rookie for the Buffalo Bills so far. I'll start with the Bills on this one, and this is by default, and that's not an insult. The only guy you can even give Defensive Rookie of the Year for the Bills is A.J. Epinesa. That's the only one. Who else has played?
There's
no other rookie that's played. I mean, are we going to talk Cam Lewis? He's not even a rookie. He's a first-year player, they call it, because he was actually a pro last year, even though he didn't play.
Yeah.
Same thing. I would have given it to Terrell Dodson if he was considered a rookie, but he was on a professional contract last year, so he is not considered a rookie by NFL purposes.
Win by default.
So I'm going to give it to A.J. Epinesa by default. This is a really tough one for NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here. He doesn't have wow stats, but every time you look into the deeper numbers and read things about him, Antoine Winfield Jr. is having an amazing season in Tampa Bay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
I like
cool
it.
Cool to see that.
It is awesome, isn't it?
We talked about it over the summer, like how it's cool to see all the former Major League Baseball players' kids play in Toronto and, well, in Buffalo this summer. But it's cool to now see these former NFL players' sons in the league performing well, too.
100%. All right, let's go to Offensive Player of the Year. This is different than what I try to do, and it's not always the case. I want people to be upfront about this and let you know. I usually separate MVP from Offensive Player of the Year if I think it could. I don't want to give both awards out to the same person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say my Offensive Player of the Year, this will clue you in on who the MVP is for the Bills. For me, it's Stephon Diggs on the Bills' offense, though. I mean, the numbers he's putting up, he leads the league going into the weekend, at least, in receiving yards.
Yeah, it's got to be Diggs. I mean, I feel like some people could make a case maybe for Beasley. He's made some big plays here and there. But Singletary hasn't just gotten a lot of touches. I mean, he's made big plays. But yeah, it's 100% Diggs.
He's got to be right there.
It's
by
the
way,
trickle-down effect, too.
And how did we just talk about Justin Jefferson, a great rookie right now for Minnesota? Isn't that what you want? You want to see the trade work out for both teams.
Yeah.
Maybe there are Vikings fans who say, I'd rather have Stephon Diggs, but okay, you still made a trade that you got a really nice rookie. I think that trade, both teams have to be kind of satisfied with what happened.
Yeah, it's the definition of a win-win trade. The Vikings got younger, and they got more picks for the guy.
Yes.
And Diggs is in a better spot now, and he's seemingly a lot happier than he was in Minnesota.
The Offensive Player of the Year in the league, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. He is having a phenomenal year. Hasn't thrown a pick yet. He's thrown 13 touchdowns. Allen has more yards than him, but he's doing it all for Green Bay this year. He looks like the old Aaron Rodgers, if you will.
See, before yesterday and now going forward, I would have argued that Prescott could be up there too. Not MVP because the team's not there Rodgers is.
I agree.
But he's just been airing it out. And granted, I've heard the case they're always behind, so they're always opening it up and letting him throw. But so that makes the case. He's the Offensive Player of the Year, not the MVP, but definitely has the case. And I think Russ could be too.
Yeah, I think I'll get to that in a minute with MVP, but you're right. Those guys are all deserving of those things. Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett is blowing up offensive backfields. There are a lot of good players right now that are playing really well on the defensive side of the ball. Who's the guy? I'm drawing Patrick Queen. Oh, he's a rookie, actually. I'm thinking of Smith. Smith, the Packers defensive player. But anyway, I was between him and Garrett, and I like Myles Garrett here. He's just having a phenomenal year, it seems like, and they're winning. They're winning.
Yeah, they are. They're legit. The Cleveland Browns are finally good, and they're doing it. Is it going unnoticed? Like, do you think that they should be getting more praise?
In a way, it is, but only because possibly they're playing in a division that has Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and these guys have not played each other yet, really, these teams, right?
Yeah.
All right, Defensive Player of the Year for the Bills. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Jordan Poyer. I think he's done everything for this team, even though, you know, the defense has had its struggles at times. Every time you look up, Jordan Poyer seems to be around the football and making plays. Now, Matt Milano, maybe if he's played every game, he'd be here for me.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, so I'm going to give it to Poyer.
I was going
to
make that case for Milano, too, but the health thing takes him out of it. But I think the other thing with Poyer, too, is you've heard all the good things that teammates have to say about him. And that's what this group does. They all like each other. But the amount of things that they've talked about with Poyer's leadership and just how hard he plays out there, just – and how he's grown into this leader on this team. I think that he's really taken a step forward and become, like you said, the defensive MVP.
And yes, for all of you listening who know, my Andre Roberts love has been, from the beginning, I'm going to create the Special Teams of the Year award for him because Beautiful. He deserves it. And I'll give it to him for the league, too. The guy's been amazing. By the way, there's been a couple guys that have been very good at returning. Devin Duvernay's been really nice returning kicks for the Baltimore Ravens. The kid yesterday, Isaiah Thompson, I think is his name. I have to look. He, for the Colts, had the return against the Browns. He's done a nice job. But, I mean, you could argue Andre Roberts, though. He really is. And Ricardo Blankenship, the kicker for Colts, he's been really good this year. But Andre Roberts has been fantastic for the Bills. He really has done a nice job. All right. Coach of the Year. Now, in the NFL, you give it to a head coach, of course. For the Bills, I'm not going to give it to Sean McDermott because he's the only head coach they have. So for the Bills, I'll give it to an assistant coach, and it's got to be Brian Daboll. How do you not say Brian Daboll has not done an amazing job? Everybody on the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit, but what that guy has done with this offense has been incredible.
Yeah, and wasn't it towards the end of last year where he had to get moved up to the booth and there was a debate about whether play calling should be taken away? I mean, what a turnaround.
Well, what happened was about midway through the year, he goes up in the booth, and all of a sudden, they start to play better. They start to spread the field more. He sees things better. I don't know about play calling being taken away. Maybe fans wanted that, but I do think he had to change what he was doing in order for, you know, to let this offense thrive, which maybe you don't know until you know you do it, right? Coach of the Year in the NFL. This is a tough one for me. I think there's a lot of good candidates, including Sean McDermott. But I'm going to go with Matt LaFleur because I did not expect the Packers to be doing what they're doing.
That was the first name that popped into my head. And you know who I'm also thinking who probably could have won it last year if his team squeaked into the playoffs? Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin is doing a really, really nice job. Really nice job. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. I've always been a Mike Tomlin fan. It's funny. I've gone to Pittsburgh a few times. I have friends that work in the media in Pittsburgh. I have plenty of Pittsburgh fan, you know, friends. And he does not, to me, they criticize him way too much. Like, it's one of those things, like, you don't know how good you have it, man. Like, we went through all of these coaches in Buffalo. And it's every time I talk with Pittsburgh fans over the years, there's Mike Tomlin slander. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You don't know how good you have it. The guy's a really good coach.
And it's weird because what do you expect to happen? If you're a diehard Steelers fan, you know that they don't go through coaches, you know, every few years.
And
he's going to be
around. You lose Roethlisberger every other year, right? I mean, what are you going to do? All right, let's get to MVP. There's no doubt that Josh Allen is the Buffalo Bills MVP to this point. The team is riding him on offense. He's doing everything for them. And that's not to take away of the stats and the numbers and everything of everybody else has contributed. But without Josh Allen on this team, the Bills are certainly not 4-0 at this point. All right, who is your league MVP? Because I wrote down Josh Allen. And then last night's game happened, and I said, I got to give it to Russ. I mean, Russell Wilson, this is not anything against Josh Allen. In any other universe, he might be the MVP, but not due to what Russell Wilson is doing this year for that team.
Yeah, he's
they
just
They are
incredible.
Not a good defense.
It's in my eyes, it's a three-man race between Allen, Rodgers,
Agreed.
And Wilson.
100%.
And the fact that Allen's even in that conversation
it's
with
amazing.
Those two guys is incredible.
It is amazing. I agree.
It's like with Tomlin. We got to be happy with what we have now. We can't be criticizing in any way. Like, this is what we wanted. It's finally here. They have a quarterback that's arguably an MVP conversation with two guys that have Super Bowls.
The 517th Awards. Sal's 517th Awards. Not the first quarter grades. The 517th Awards. All right, we'll take a timeout. Craig Revay coming up, host of the Instigators. I told you we were doing football and hockey today. It's okay. See, we got everything in today. Plus, sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, I got to get to it all. It's all coming up after this timeout on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So as we went into free agency, I called as soon as it opened. I called Darren Ferris immediately and let him know our interest. And then we went from there. So that was our top of our list priority of trying to figure out how we put this roster together. And we were hopeful that we'd be able to get to this point. But we knew that it was going to take a lot of conversation. And we knew it had to be a fit for both sides.
Sabres general manager Kevin Adams last night on his conference call with the Buffalo media. There will be a conference call today with the Buffalo media from new Sabres forward Taylor Hall that will happen at 2 p.m. We are going to have that available for you on our website as soon as it's wrapped up, WGR550.com. Check it out. It is a Buffalo Football Monday. As soon as I'm done here at noon, we're going to get to One Bills Live with Steve Tasker, with Chris Brown, of course. And then it's going to be Shope and the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Normally, they will be joined by Eric Wood at 4. Eric's going to get moved to Wednesday since it's the day after the Tuesday game. I'm going to join them today at 4 o'clock. I normally don't on Monday. So everything's moving around here, including this particular show today, as we normally have it. And then I think we're still going to do it on Wednesday again. I think. Haven't been told officially, but we'll keep you updated. Stay tuned and follow us on Twitter at WGR550. Follow me at Sal Sports. I'll let you know what's going on if we're going to have another Extra Point show on Wednesday. I believe that's the case, but we'll let you know. In the meantime, I've been trying to balance the hockey and football stuff today. I know you're used to hearing Andrew and Craig this time. So we gave you Andrew a little while ago, and now we're going to get to Craig in the Wester Hotline. Craig Revay joining me, host of the Instigators, to talk about the Taylor Hall signing with the Sabres. Thanks for doing this, man. I know it's your day off. I really appreciate it.
How we doing?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this. I know it's your day off, buddy. I appreciate you coming on.
No worries. Lots of good juicy stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so let's do it. All right, first reaction. Here, I got to tell you, actually, you guys the other day, I don't remember what day it was, I was listening, and you were talking about the possibility of Taylor Hall, and someone brought up his relationship to Ralph Kruger, and I said to myself, I wonder if they know something or if they think it could happen. Did you ever really think or know that it could happen?
Well, everybody knows that I love to do my whiteboard. The whiteboard is guys that are, I'm putting in and out of the lineup just to kind of see what it looks like, to see the makeup of this. And at one point, I think late last week, Thursday or Friday, I did a whiteboard and I had Taylor Hall playing on the left side with Jack Eichel. And, you know, it's the type of move, it's the type of player that it's almost like, it's wishful thinking, but it's really fun to kind of at least, put a former Hart Trophy winner into your lineup, not thinking that it would ever come to fruition. But when I learned the other day that Taylor Hall had signed a contract with the Buffalo Sabres, my jaw dropped to the floor, because this kind of stuff doesn't just happen every day. You know, I would dare to ask the people out there, or anybody, has there ever been a bigger, unrestricted free agent signing in Buffalo Sabres history?
No, I can't think of one. I mean, there's a former Hart Trophy winner, former number one overall pick. I was going through the list of former number one overall picks that ever played in Buffalo, and the only way they ever got their way here was A, being drafted, like Gilbert Perreault and Pierre Turgeon, or B, being traded, like going all the way back to Dale McCourt or Dale Hawerchuk. This is the first guy that's decided on his own to sign a contract with this organization.
And you know what? The Sabres fan base has to be, you know, just in shock, in awe that a player of the magnitude of Taylor Hall, who it's very obvious that he was drawn to Ralph Kruger, number one, because he's played with him before, must have had a great relationship. But the opportunity to be able to play with one of the very best centers in the National Hockey League in Jack Eichel, I think that when he looks at the team, he's seeing a lot of very good things, a lot of upside, and it gives the opportunity, this relationship, to work over time. You know, it's a one-year deal for both sides, and I think it cannot be a better fit right now for the Buffalo Sabres.
All right, I'm going to ask you the question I asked Andrew a little while ago, but I want you to bring it from a different perspective because you were a captain in this league, and you were captain of the Buffalo Sabres. You're a veteran. You get a guy like this coming into your room. Let's put yourself not in a Dylan Cousins position. You're a veteran, and you're a captain of the team. When you see a move like this, what does it do for you as a player to think about the organization, A, Craig, but B, like, do you have to, as a captain, you know you got this talent, like, massaging that relationship and going forward and making sure that, you know, you're always in the right communication spot. How do you do that with such a talented player who's walking in the room?
Well, I mean, for the first time in a long time, I think, number one, you know, Jack's had some solid leadership around him to kind of, like, help him mature into his role of being captain. Mm-hmm. Guys like Kyle Okposo has been around Dak for a few years. But, you know, when you look at the players that have been brought in, Jack Eichel is going to look around this room and not feel like he's by himself. The pressure is not just solely on Jack Eichel anymore. A guy like Eric Staal, and I think this is one of the biggest moves the Sabres have made strictly. I know we needed a second line center. We've talked about it for many years. But this, just for Jack Eichel alone, he is going to see what a leader is. And I'm not taking anything away from Jack. I think Jack has really grown into a very mature young man. He's at that point in time of really he's able to take this team and move it in the right direction. But he is also going to see what a true leader is in Eric Staal. And you know, a player like, you know, Hull is going to come into this lineup, and Jack understands what pressure is. He feels it every game. He feels it every season. But he's also going to be able to share this with another player that has dealt with the same thing that Jack has dealt with for years. And that's the pressure of having to produce every single game, pressure whether you're winning and losing. It's always going to go back to your top players. And Taylor Hall has felt that. So Jack is going to feel really comfortable with these additions that have been brought in this year. I really do believe that the Sabres have really, I can't even tell you the excitement level just for myself as a player, that a guy that has played, but also now as a fan. And I just love what Kevin Adams has done. He's brought in some character players. We talk about Eakin, and I don't think that he can be overlooked in the position of what he's going to do. He's not here to go and score 30 goals next year. He's here to be a perfect puzzle piece fit for a team.
Craig, and, I want to go back to what you just said a minute ago about Jack and his leadership, and he's mature. But there is a difference, and that is he has not gone through playoff series. He has not won a Stanley Cup. He has not been through that type of experience. So, yes, I mean, not to take anything away from Jack, his leadership for what he's known in Buffalo, what he's gone through, is enough. But now he has a couple of guys with him that have been through a lot more, and Eric Staal hoisted a Stanley Cup and knows what that's about.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, you know, Eric Staal, for an example, has played a long time in the league. He, you know, when Eric Staal, people forget, like, when Eric Staal first came into the league, his very first year, he had 100 points. Mm-hmm. He had 100 points in his rookie season. He understands what Jack goes through on a daily basis, okay? He's been through it. Eric Staal has had the opportunity to learn and grow from elite leaders before him. Eric Staal, on our call when we had him once he was traded to Buffalo, we spoke to him about his time and what it takes to mature as a player in the National Hockey League. And he was telling us that he sat between Rod Brendamore and Ron Francis. Like, can you even fathom that? These are two of the greatest leaders to have played, and this young player had the opportunity to sit and learn and watch and take everything in. Young players are like sponges. When you surround them with good people, they are going to learn good traits, good not only the way you work on the ice and off the ice, but it's the way you treat people around the rink, in restaurants, in hotels, everything. You are going to learn. And when we talk about these people, we talk about, you know, Dylan Cousins. We talk about our younger players that are going to have the opportunity to be those sponges.
Craig Rivet, host of The Instigators, joining me. All right, you had your whiteboard, and you had Taylor Hall next to Jack Eichel. I think that's the way it's going to work out. Who plays with them now? That was a question the guys brought up to Ralph Kruger. He threw out a lot of options. He talked about Dylan Cousins. He even brought up Zemgus. I don't think it's going to happen, but, I mean, what Olofsson, I think, is kind of the guy that most probably would fit in there. He brought him up. What do you think happens there? What does your top six look like?
Well, here's the thing. What happens when you have depth throughout your lineup, which is something that I think that we can all say we actually have depth throughout our lineup. My personal opinion is I don't think that Olofsson will play on the right side with Jack and Taylor Hall. I think that we have a Sam Reinhart who has played in that position for many years and has had tremendous success. I think Tage Thompson, and I'll tell everybody again, everybody listening out there, I think Tage Thompson is going to have a coming out party, and I think everybody's going to enjoy watching a 6'6", 227-pound beast, and I think he's going to have a coming out party. I think Tage Thompson should have the ability to play in the top six forwards. Someone's going to be playing with Eakin and Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins most likely is going to start his NHL career on the right-hand side. That's what I would think. Chicago did the same thing with Kirby Dack. I think Dylan Cousins will play on the third-line right wing with Cody Eakin. And then whatever left winger that is, whether it's Olofsson or Jeff Skinner, I think we're going to have four very strong lines. We talk about the last line. And I shouldn't even say last line because I don't like to use that terminology, just like Ralph Kruger, because that fourth line last year was arguably one of our best lines on any given night.
Mm-hmm.
And Lazar, Oposo, and Gergensen are going to be a force. And you know what? I don't know who's going to be playing with Jack Eichel. Just know that I think we're going to have four very strong lines this year.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, for you to do this on your day off, I appreciate that. I know you can talk to the people tomorrow at 10. You know what? Real quickly, I'm going to take one phone call because we got a caller who's been hanging on from Cleveland for like 45 minutes. So we'll get to who. I don't know the name on this call, though. We'll get to it right now. Who's that? Nick, go ahead, Nick. You're on with Craig Rivet. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
From Queensbury, New York.
Okay, thank you. I thought it said Cleveland. It said Cleveland on my screen. They must have misunderstood you, but go ahead.
It's all good. I was just wondering what your thoughts are, both you and Craig, about the cap situation and Sam and Victor. I'm thinking 6.65 for Sam would be kind of reasonable, depending on term. And Olofsson, maybe 2.5. Is that too low for Olofsson on a bridge deal? Or just wondering what you guys think about that. And I'll take my...
Craig, I'll let you handle this, and especially considering you know, what Taylor Hall went for 1 year.
Well, I think when you look at a lot of the players in today's NHL, this cap crunch type situation, it seems like there's a lot of players that were signing 1 year deals. Not a lot of players were signing long term deals. When you look at Olofsson, when you look at Sam Reinhart, Both of those two players, I think, are 2 years before they're unrestricted. I could see them signing another short-term deal and taking them to unrestricted free agency. That's just my opinion. I think at this point in time with, you know, the salary cap being lower than what it was last year, teams a little bit more cash-strapped because they don't know what the future holds for revenue and fans in the building, I could see them signing Sam to a 1 or 2 year deal and taking him to unrestricted free agency, and the same thing with Olofsson.
All right, man, good stuff. Look forward to more of it from you tomorrow. Once again, I really do appreciate you doing this on your day off. I thank you so much.
Sal, always a pleasure.
All right, Craig Revay, host of the Instigators, former Sabres captain, who has a little insight on what it's like, a lot of insight on what it's like to have a guy like Taylor Hall and welcome him into the room, I guess, and you know how all that dynamic has to work from inside the room and, of course, on the ice. And we'll get a lot more from him and Andrew and Marty and everybody else on the Instigators tomorrow at 10. I got one more segment left. And don't think I forgot about you. Sit up, stand down, and who's my buddy for the week? It's a pretty easy buddy after what happened over the last 12 hours, isn't it?
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I am super mad, Jonathan. I'm super mad. I am mad at the Minnesota Vikings. I could have been one of like 10 people left in my death pool, but because they blew it last night, all these people who took the Vikings to lose won, essentially.
You hate to see it. Kirk Cousins let you down again.
Oh, my.
Maybe again. I don't know.
I thought it was so
before.
Smart because there were like the Bucks not winning, the Bears winning, like knocked some people out. And then who else? Oh, the Raiders. Then the Dolphins. I'm like, all right, I seemed really smart in my own brain because I took the Bengals lose. I'm like, all right. And they did. They got crushed. There's no. I'm going to last night. I'm like, look at this. I'm going to have like 10 people left out of 50. No.
It's the way she goes.
Like 10, 15 people took the Vikings and they're still in it. So what are you going to do? All right, sit up, stand down. Speaking of NFL week number 5, can we start sitting up a little bit on what the Panthers are doing with Matt Rhule? I will be just as guilty as anybody to say, I thought this team was going to be horrible. They seem like they were, I'm not going to say tanking, but kind of throwing it in this year. They've done a great job the last few weeks. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They've scored 21, 31, 23 points. They are throwing the ball. Teddy Bridgewater looks good. Matt Rhule's done a really nice job. They're only 2 losses. They lost to the Raiders by 4, and they lost to the Bucs by a couple of touchdowns. But I really like what the Panthers are doing and what they're building. We'll see how it goes, if it's sustainable. But this is a nice team. They have a nice team offensively, and They're doing enough on defense right now. They've only allowed 16, 21, and 16 over the last few weeks. Let's sit up on them. Let's stand down. Let's stand down, everybody, a little bit here on worrying about the Bills losing coaches like Brian Daboll or front office people like Joe Shane or Dan Morgan. Like, yes, that could happen. And if it does, that means the Bills had a good year and people like these people. There's a long way for that. And I guarantee you, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and their staffs, they would still be able to bring people into this organization to keep the train running, if you will. I know I don't want to lose them either. And I'm not saying you will. What I'm telling you is stop worrying about it on October 12th. There's a long season. Anything can happen. You never know how things shake out. How about thinking about the next couple games and enjoying the moment at hand and enjoying having these people? But also, I know they'd find really good people if they did wind up winning, losing them. So stand down. I'm worrying about, you know, the Bills losing some people here. All right, real quick, let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
This one was easy as of around 7 p.m. last night. No doubt about it. My buddy this week, October 12th, is the newest Buffalo Sabre.
Base. He's checked by Cirelli, but continues on. Shot by Paul Marion. Saved by Vasilevsky. Rebound loose. Shot by Marion. Scores!
Taylor Hall, you're my buddy. Hey, buddy, welcome to Buffalo. How cool is it? How sweet is it? We're all enjoying a Buffalo football Monday and a Buffalo hockey Monday after a tremendous, tremendous signing by the Buffalo Sabres. Now, I don't know when Taylor Hall is coming to town. I don't know if people are meeting him at the airport with wings like they do Bills players when they sign, but I know he's going to talk to the media at 2 o'clock. It's all part of a Buffalo Football Monday. We got one Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker on the way. We got a Taylor Hall press conference at 2. We'll have that for you on demand at WGR550.com. We got Shope and the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here on WGR. Enjoy your Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.